Today's daf is daf chavtet, and we begin from the Mishnah, halacha vav. Shomrei perot ochlim mehilchot medina. So we've been discussing the worker's right midin Torah, really, to eat from produce that he is working on. And we saw the scope of that heter in terms of when he's allowed to, when he's not. And now what we're learning here is a shomer perot, someone just a guard. He is able to eat perot, some of the produce, mehilchot medina, which sounds like it's not midin Torah, just from the local practice. Avalo mina Torah. However, and then it adds, Arba Shomrim Hem. There are four types of Shomrim. Shomer Chinam, Vesho'el, Noser, Sachar, Vesocher. These are the four classic Shomrim that we've sort of touched on in different contexts. Mishnah mentions it now. That's someone who is a free guardian, he's not paid to look after, he's been asked to do it. That's sorry, Shomer Chinam, Vesho'el, someone who borrows, Noser, Sachar, is someone who is, sorry, paid to look after this, a paid guardian, and a Socher, someone who rents. So Shomer Chinam Nishba L'Hakol. Shomer Chinam, if he makes a shvua that he wasn't negligent, if anything goes wrong with this thing, then he's patur. V'Hashol Meshalem L'Hakol. No matter simply, it sounds like no matter what happens whatsoever, he has to pay. V'Noser Sachar or V'Socher Nishba Al Ha says Hashever V'Hashvuya V'Hameta. That in the case of a paid guardian or someone who's renting, he makes a shvua. For if the animal, for example, breaks, how does the animal break? Breaks a leg, for example. The alashvuy, if it was taken captive by armed bandits or something like that, the meta, not armed bandits, let's get to honest, but taken shvuah, the hameta, if it died. Or meshalmim, but he has to pay ala aveda v'etagneva. So you've got the shomer sachar and socher is somewhere in between the shomer chinam shoel that they're actually chay for gneva aveda and patur for a shever shvuya. And or meta. So the Gemara says, Shomer perot ochlim hilchot midah. Now Rav Huna Amar. So we're going to look at the girsa change of the Marful that he here. He says that, I mean, you can see, you can just read it straight inside from the Marful if you like. It says, B'shomer ginot u pardasim himanita. The whole point of the Mishnah that a Shomer can eat only mehilchot midina, but not midin Torah, that's talking about a Shomer that's looking after orchards. Okay? Or garden patches, things like that. Aval shomrei peirot, if he's looking after already cut produce, then ochlim mena Torah. So let's have a look what this means. Well, I'll just show you here before we continue the rest of the Dibrot Makhel that shows the Gersa changes. He says, "Cause shomer ginot paratin havalei mechubar." Because if you're looking after a pardes or a gina, the product itself is mechubar. B'shach she'en gemar melacha, at a time where it's not reached gemar melacha, I mean, you're not picking it. Hilkach mina Torah lo achil. Then it's like no different to someone who's weeding in a field or weeding in a paradise. It's not time for picking, so Mechilchot Din Torah is not allowed to. And therefore, Ela Mechilchot Medina, it's only by local practice would be allowed to do so. However, Aval Shomrei Perot Tlushim, if he's looking after produce that is picked but not yet reached Gemar Malacha, importantly, which by war right he's allowed to then be Din Torah if he was doing some sort of physical work and is allowed to eat, Afilu Menot Torah Achil. Why? Because the first opinion, which is the opinion of Rav Huna, he understands that a shomer is ka'oseh ma'aseh dami. That even though he's standing there passively, you might think he's not doing any active work. No, it's still considered active work. So that if it's a stage in the produce where an active worker would be able to eat, he's allowed to eat midin Torah. Okay? So therefore, the Mishnah must be talking about a situation in the process where the fruit is not ready for picking, and that's why you can't eat midin Torah, and you can only eat mechil midinah. If you go back to where we were saying previous, higher up, in the Dura Machil, have a Shmuel Omer, b'shomer peirot. No, our Mishnah is talking about where it's Omer Shomer, where it's already cut. Aval shomer ginu pardesim af hilchot medina in ochlim. So importantly, according to Shmuel, he understands that shomer is not ka'oseh maaseh, is not as if he's doing an action. Therefore, the Mishnah is talking about a situation where midin Torah, if he was doing an action, then he would be able to eat. Therefore, hilchot medina, we say he can eat. However, if he's at a stage much earlier, like a pardes. Or a gina, where midin Torah, if an active worker is not allowed to eat, then even in the whole midinah, no one's a shomer is not allowed to eat from the food. So that's really the debate between Shmuel and Rav Huna. But what's behind the debate is whether a shomer is considered oseh maaseh or not. Now the Gemara says, so Tani Rav Chiya umesayir Rav Huna. We have Rav Chiya brought a teaching that seemed to support, if you like, or that he taught that which is, what he taught seemed to support, if you like, Rav Huna. What is that? It says v'tameh kohen ada arev larbot shomer hashomer shumatamim. So here we're referring to v'tameh kohen ada arev. They're talking about paraduma, and we said that anyone involved in the paraduma is is metame begadim. He becomes a clothing becomes tame. Now, what the Chiddush is saying is la'rabot shomer shu metame begadim, that even as someone who's simply a shomer, even a security guard, if you like, for the process of shom paraduma, from the beginning of shchita all the way till the ashes are collected, he too in metame begadim. So you see here that the Brayta Ruchia is supporting the idea that a shomer is like oseh ma'aseh, and that supports Shita Rav Huna. Okay, now let's learn halacha zayin. Zevachad en ones. So if we're looking at the responsibility of shomrim, it gets to a point where, if, for example, it's ones, then it would be pater. So we have to understand when it comes to this, what's considered ones. So zevachad en ones v'shnei zabim ones. If it's one wolf, well, you could have fended off one wolf, so then it's not considered ones. Or shnei zavim, if it's two wolves, and you have to, then that would be considered ones. Rav Yehuda says, well, it depends. In b'shat mishlachat zevim, if we're talking about a situation where there's like a plague of zevim or something, or for these wolves, we say af zevachad, even one zev is considered ones. Now mishlachat zevim, the understanding is that they're even in such a time period, they seem to have more confidence that even a single wolf would be confident enough to attack a human being. And therefore, that's why we'd be honest even then. So shnei klavim, if it's two dogs come to, say, attack a flock he's looking after, then it's considered, it's not honest. How the yodah badly depends. If it's a coordinated attack, or if it's meruach echad, you're right, in honest. However, mishnei ruchot, if it's from two different sides, then that's considered honest because it's hard to fend off. Halistim, when it comes to these armed bandits, according to the Moshe says, then that's also a case of honest. It's beyond his control, and he's what can you do? However, ha'ari v'ador v'namer v'abardlis v'nachash, we're talking about these crazy wild animals, a lion, a bear, a leopard or badlas is probably a cheetah, v'ha'nachash or a snake, that is all cases of ones. Hare anasim. Eimatai, when's that? Midman shu ba'al malayim, that's only if they seem to come on their own to the location where he's looking after these animals. Aval im holchim l'makom gdudei chaya, v'listim ein elu anasim. Yeah, well, if the person makes a blundering mistake by taking the animals he's looking after into a place of danger where there's a pride of lions, then you can't say it's honest the lions attacked it. You were negligent in your care. Let's continue. Meta gadark, if the animal simply dies naturally in the course of the work, we say that's also considered a case of honest. Okay, meta no, because alal rosh hatzukim, if however you take it, if the animal on its own went up to, say, a cliff face, v'nafla, and then falls and dies, then that's a case of honest because it went up on its own. However, alal le rosh hatzukim, if you took an animal to that dangerous place, v'nafla, then it's ain't honest. It's not considered honest. You were negligent in taking it there. Matne Adam, however, what we've just learned is Matne Adam shomer chinam lo patur mishvua, v'ashoa liot patur meleshalem, that even though we've just seen that there are certain levels of responsibility that differ between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, that they can stipulate with the as part of the agreement to have a different level of responsibility. For example, Shomer Chinam can make a stipulate, if you want me to look after this, if anything happens, I want to be part of from a Shvuah. And they can accept it, that can work. Similarly, a Shoel, who's usually responsible nearly and pretty much in all, nearly, I should say, in all circumstances, the exception next Mishnah, Patu Mele Shalem. He can stipulate, I'll be exempt. V'nosa can also can stipulate to lighten the level of responsibility, to exempt from a shvua or from paying in situations they have to pay. However, the mission just adds then, even though it seems to be that he says you can make a shvua, it says, if you make a condition against the Torah law, then that t'nai doesn't work. It's batel and the thing goes through. Now, we've discussed about t'nais before, conditions. This seems to, you might think, doesn't this contradict what we just said? We just said above that when it comes to the Dalet Shomrim, they can stipulate to be different to what the Torah obligations are for such Shomrim. But we'll get to that when we get to the Gemara. Next, v'kol t'nai shehu mitchila t'nai batel. Now, if you recall, again, we discussed this in a lot more detail, the limud of what qualifies it as t'nai. And one of the things we said is if the t'nai is before the, sorry, if the t'nai is after the Maaseh, then it's not considered a Tanai, meaning the condition has to be before the act. So I'll just explain here. It says, Kol Tanai Sheyesh Maaseh B'tchila Sheikdima Maaseh She'alav Lasot, meaning he says the action or prior to the Tanai. Shehu Sho'el Nimeno, Kogon, Harei Maaseh Zeh Shelcha, that this will be yours, Im Tasi, if you do such a thing. Why? Because Tanai Batel, the Lord Dami, Le Tanai B'nei Gad Reuven, the Marafulda says. Because then, time of event, it says, Imya Avru, if you cross the Jordan, Then you will be given this land. So you see, the Tanai has to precede the Maisa. Hainu Tanai Kodeh LaMaisa. Im Taaseh Li Davar Zeh, then Ashuv Areh Etzoncha, etc. O Hainu Tanai Sheshoel Mimenu Kodem LaMaisa She'alav Lasot. Then if that's the Shira, Batel HaTanai V'ya Maisa Kayam. Afala Shalom Kim HaTanai. So when, it's important to understand, whenever we say this situation, the Tanai Batel, it's as if the Maaseh still goes through, and the Tanai is completely disregarded from this situation. So then it would be binding, the action would be binding if the Tanai wasn't fulfilled. Okay, that's what we're saying here. V'kosha ifsha lo lakaimo b'sofo v'itnaimo tilato Tanai Kayam. Meaning, if the Tanai is imta o kodem la maisa, ha'ifsha lakaimo tna batel v'maisa kayam. So we'll get to that in the Gemara as well. In other words, if it's a Tanai that's impossible to fulfill, once again, we disregard the Tanai and the action is fulfilled. So let's go through the three things to make it clear, because I'm not sure if I've been 100% clear here. Is that you've got to, when it comes to the Tanaim, there are, and so even if someone stipulates a condition that's going to be part of a particular action, I'm going to give you this money on condition X, that that there are three situations where the Tanai is completely disregarded from the pictures. If the Tanai was never made, the condition and the mice will go through. One is if the Tanai goes against the Torah law. Second one is if the Tanai doesn't precede the action the way it's being stipulated, because the Tanai has to precede the action. And the final one is the Tanai has to be possible to be fulfilled, because if it's not, we disregard altogether. The question is, why do we disregard altogether? We'll get to that when they get to the Gemara. Let's continue. Kol amatnei amasha katu b'Torah. So Gemara says, Tanai, kol amatnei amasha katu b'Torah. In other words, there we're saying it's then if it's a Tanai mamon, if it's regarding a monetary issue, then Tanayo kayam. Tna'o she'eino shel mamon, then tna betel. So in other words, it's not so, we have to be clear. The Gemara is going to explain in a minute. When do we say that a Tanai that goes against the Torah is batel? That's when we're regarding a pure dine, like isurim matter. If, however, we're regarding a financial stipulation, for example, the person forgoes his financial rights to something, in that situation, despite the fact, yes, there's a Torah law, he can say, I'm foregoing my financial claim in this matter, and that's still okay. So in other words, not so crystal, it's not like 100% rule, anytime you go against the Torah law that it's asur, that the Tanai is disregarded. No, it's only if because why? In situations where it's a financial right that he's foregoing, yes, you can make that Tanai. So how so? Ketzad. Amali sha'arei mekudesh li amanat she'ein lach alaik sher ksut ve'ona. So normally, sorry, a husband's responsibility for his wife, he has to pay for the sher ksut ve'ona. Which is he has to provide her food, he provide her clothing, and also marital responsibilities in terms of being with her. Gemara says, you can make such a stipulation. Hareze mekodeshet, v'tna o kayam. And the tnai is in full, and he doesn't have to provide it. Why? Because these, well, it's easier to understand, let's say, when it comes to food and clothing, because those things are, if you like, monetary in nature, and she's foregoing that right of hers. An issue one is onah, meaning that's a physical thing, one would think. But there's a machlok. For example, Rashi says it's not really, that's not one of them, that he would still be chayiv in onah. However, the machlok of Rishon regard the matter. But the Ritva says we quite clearly see from this Gemara here that he understands that this is also considered financial in nature, much like the obligation to provide food or clothing, which is interesting how or why that would be so. But that's what seems to be suggesting Rishon. However, if he says amanat she'im mati, if he says a marrying condition that if I die, he says you will not be required to do yibum. Or I should say, the husband doesn't have to do yibum. Sorry, the husband, the brother of this man who passed away would be kind to him. In that situation, she's married or tanai batel, it's disregarded because that's a purely isurim matter. That's a din Torah, which he has no right to stipulate against, and it's disregarded. Okay, you're fair. Mana says, Zeh klal, meaning Shaya Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer. This is regarding Gittin. Now, this relates to the situation where he makes a tanai that's impossible for her to fulfill. So, and in the case of it, he says, you know, like he says, I'm divorcing you on condition that you can, I don't know, fly or something like that. We say, kol davar she'i efshar litkayem, any sort of situation where it's a tanai that's impossible to kayem, v'itnaima, and he made the condition part of the tanai, lo nitkaven elafliga. His intention of doing this was lahafliga. Interesting, Baruch Huda says, la'archika u'lekanter, but he's just trying to give a tzuras. He wasn't really considering the Tanai as a concrete Tanai, because it's impossible to fulfill, it's just being difficult. But in other words, whether, so therefore,
We say the Tanai's disregard, and she's migureshet. So Ben Sha'amar Bichtav, Ben Sha'amar, where he said he wrote it contractually, or meaning in the get, or he said it verbally. Kol ha'mitkayim ba'peh, mitkayim b'ktav. Meaning only if it's Tanai that can be a real Tanai, it doesn't. Then it's that's a Tanai that's binding. For example, it could be 30 shekel in a, so give me certain money in 30 days' time. That would be a Tanai. But something's impossible. We say he's just trying to mess with her and just trying to call it tsaras, and we disregard that Tanai altogether. That's what the Mishnah is referring to in the final case, where it says kol Tanai she'ief shela kaima. The Gemara says v'kvar otnaya kegalil v'antipatras kiyuda. Now, this is an interesting case, if you remember. This is where a person says, if I don't return back within 30 days, then you're mukaresha. And the understanding was, is that, I'll just show you here in the Marafulda. Should I show you the Fulda? Yeah. He says, Marafulda says, makom, he says, where is it? Yeah, yes. Makom sha'acharon shebegalil kesho'olech megalil Yehuda. Okay. So these locations seems to be the last towns, if you like, in the borders of each of the areas we're discussing. He says, but I'll return within 30 days. He's going from Yehuda to Galil. Because the idea was that if he leaves, meaning if he goes out of the region, then it should be Mekoresha. So his understanding is that because he only went to the border and then came back, batel atnai. As well, the tnai is not fulfilled. Okay, oh, the tnai is annulled. Sorry, yeah, because it's not fulfilled. So the point is what we're saying here, again, how it actually fits in, because it's related to the Tosefta that we were just discussing above. It says, but therefore we're saying if it goes from for Naya is Galil, meaning if it goes, says I'm going Galil Yehuda and reaches that point and turns around, well, it's Naya Batel. The Antipas, if he goes Antipas, and Antipas is like the edge of Yehuda, so if it goes there and turns around, it's Naya Batel. And however, any region between, we don't really know how to define that. That's like a Suffolk region, and therefore you treat it as Megureshet the Ena Megureshet. The Chumras of both. Fine. Let's continue. Now, this is an interesting case. Even though we find that when it comes to a shoel, that he's got the highest level of responsibility, that nearly, pretty much, yes, under all circumstances, he's really chayev. There's one circumstance where he's patro, and that's when it's shoel ba'alav imo. That's when he borrows the owner along with the animal. In that situation, if it's meta, he's patro. So let's have a look. The Gemara said, like if it's metamach mat malacha. The Gemara says, so socher ashol tapar v'shal balavimo, shal tapar v'sechar balavimo. So in other words, whether he asks the owner, can you help me out, or he says he's paying him to help him out to operate this animal, if you like, shal tapar lav or scharam v'achar. Then in that situation, then that's what we call it balavimo. However, shal tapar lav or scharam v'achar kach shal tapar or meta, then patur shenema im balavimo leoshelam. So once again, if he shalat abalav or sacharan, and he got the owners, and then in other words, he asked them to help him with work, and then was borrowed the cow, and the cow died, that's also a situation of balav imo. Okay, where he'd be patur. The Gemara says, aval, shalat apara, if he borrowed the para, and then asked the owner of the para to come help him out, v'achaka shalat abalav, shalat abalim, or sacharam, or hired the like rented, but really paid the owner to come help him out. Or maybe this chayv because the balav anymore shalem yishalem, because the owners weren't with him, he's chayv l'shalem. Now, what's interesting here is that even though the owner might be present, what we're seeing in the Mishnah at the time this animal is meta machmat malacha, we say that nonetheless he is because he wasn't rented, he wasn't engaged at the time when he borrowed the animal, then he would be chayv to pay. So that's what the Gemara says. Now, what I'm going to do is this next part, pretty much all of it, we're going to look at the Marafulda because he changes the gears a little bit here. Lots of gears have changed. Everyone changes it different ways. But it says, Gemara says, so it says, Amar, so Ashol Debar Amar of Ila. So it's Mimash Meshneh Mar Im Ba'alavim Olo Ishlam. The fact that Torah says, if the Ba'alim are with you, then he doesn't have to pay if the animal dies. And obviously, we know if the Ba'alim ain't Ani Odim She, if the Ba'alim are not with them, then you have to pay. So why is the Torah telling us, I mean, both cases, if he is with him and not with him, you can infer one from the other. So,
Why does the Torah have to say if the abalim with it, if the abalim sort of any more not with him ishalem? El mekemen sha'ala para, because he borrowed the para, but meaning the losha al balim, in other words, word him af al gav sha balim choshim agaba, nonetheless you would be chayev. So the fact that the Gemara is mashmer from the fact that it's use the positive case and the negative case unnecessarily because you're going to infer one from the other, comes to teach us that it's in Ba'alavi more than your chayev means because the Ba'alim wanted more at the time of the Sechira. That's what the point is. And even though the Ba'alim might be more with him later date, because it was the time of the Sechira, at the time of the rental, that is, he is chayev. Aval, then it continues. So that's the drop down quote. He says, Aval sha'alat ha'para v'achaka sha'alat ha'ba'alim mitzvah de'chayev. So Amar Avla. Back to the Marafulda. The fact that again, it says because the Torah says Balav anymore, if the owner's up with him, you have to pay. Ain adim, don't I already know then? Why do I need that complimentary case if the Balim with then you don't have to pay? Ella, once again, Mikavan, he's got Bechula here, so we'll get back to the Balim. Mikavan Shal Parah, since you borrowed the Parah, Visachar Ba'ala. And you also engaged and paid the owner to come work with you, Ima, at the same time. Even if the owners aren't engaged at the time that this animal died, then we say, Umeta, nonetheless, you're patur. Because the critical point that Gemara is picking out is what's the whole din of Ba'al Avimo? It's not at the time the animal died, it's the time of the Sechira. And it learns that for both the chiyuv and the ptur from the fact that Torah unnecessarily brought the, if you like, the complementary cases. That's in a nutshell. Okay, the set of the ultimate.